Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January 30th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Alex K., The 12 Traditions, Barbara W., and the readers of the text are Janice P.M., and Sherry M. Today we are on page 75, the third paragraph down on the page. Returning from home, we find a place where we can be quiet. And it goes through one paragraph, just that one paragraph ending with, have we tried to make mortar without sand? The share ID for Wednesday, January 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,119. That's 22119. And Thursday, January 30th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,125. That's 22125. And the announcements person is Chanel T. The newcomer greeter is Chanel T. And the announcements person is Leslie M. And thank you all for your service this month. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex K. I'll now ask Barbara W. to read our 12 traditions. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I'm Barbara, a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be in OA. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern us. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is the desire for us to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to compulsive overeaters who still are suffering. 6, an OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name or any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be self-supported, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should forever remain non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has but no outside opinion or issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public-related policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of our committee, complications. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And it says that television and other public media of communication. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Barbara, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 75, the third paragraph down, begins with returning home. We find a place where we can be quiet, through one paragraph ending with, have we tried to make mortar without sand? And the comments are on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Janice P.M., to begin our reading. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, Mo, and everybody that's here. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Okay, returning home. We find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Well, when I first read this, I had no idea what he was talking about, the mortar and the foundation. But, you know, of course, if you've been here long enough and if you've been through the steps and you've listened, both reading the book and studying the book and coming to fellowship, which we have to do both, then we get to know that Bill writes as if he is an architect. Well, I know he is the architect. Now, in the word architect, that means, and if you see the first few letters, the word arch, A-R-C-H, and I just found that out by studying some more. He is the architect of all these steps. So the suggestion here, the first thing is, these are directions for us, for me to do after I've completed my fifth step with my sponsor. That's who I chose. I go home to my earthly home, right? And I find a place where I can be quiet for an hour. Very difficult for me. Very impulsive, very fidgety. But I do. And I have to review these 12 steps, mostly the first five steps. That's the proposals. What does it say? What does it take from the shelf? I didn't have my book on the shelf. I always had it with me, really, in my home. So I know just where it is. It was never on the shelf because I was accessing it to every day. But anyway, the first thing I do, and I really feel it, is I say a prayer. Thank you, God, from the bottom of my heart, that I know you better. With me, after the fifth step, I really felt exceptional. I felt as free as a breeze, that, you know, that God was, he came to me. And it was just a wonderful feeling. But I wasn't through. You know, I could say, I should have gone out and celebrated, but I wasn't through, but I was different. My attitude was different, and I did feel him, so I got to know him better. And, you know, after reading the steps, which are on page 59, I'm going to refer it to the big book, we carefully go through it, okay? And we ask, I know I did, I asked myself questions. Have I omitted anything? Well, I didn't write what I was supposed to write the very first time. When I say I felt something, this was after, in another time and day, when I let go of everything. Then I felt the feeling. Oh, so goodness. Okay. I'm going to walk through this arch, and that's the freedom after doing all the steps by having the foundation, the cornerstone, and the keystone. And I guess I will go on and I will pass. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janice, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please let others jump in there today. You could share tomorrow. So just reminding everybody, we're on page 75, the third paragraph down. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet. Through one paragraph ending with, trying to do two things at once. Have we tried to make mortar without sand? So who would like to share today?
Chanel T.
Ann B. New York.
I got Chanel and Ann.
Joan
Veronica
Ann.
B.
I got Ann and, Joan Marie and Veronica.
Yes.
So I have Chanel T, I think it was Ann B, I'm not sure, Joan Marie M, and Veronica B. Is there anyone else in this group that would like to share? Okay, will everybody mute except Chanel T? We'll get started.
Great. Thank you so much, Mo. And thank you, Janice PM. I'm Chanel T. in Washington State. Grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. And, okay, you know, the sitting alone with for an hour, right? I'm not particularly good at that. And I remember being told and also joking with my own sponsees, I still do this, about, you know, it doesn't say 5 minutes because I'm an addict, right? And that's what I would do. I'd be like, okay, God, am I good? Did I do everything? All right, next. Because that's just, my brain will flit about, left to my own devices. So to really truly do this, after all that I just did, where I dug up everything in the fourth step, I was digging from the closets, from the attic, from the basement, from out in the backyard, from my car, everything, all this stuff about myself that is not desirable. The resentments, the fears, the harms, you know, the sex harms. And to share that with another person, I felt tired. That's what I felt. Okay, I'm just going to tell you the truth. The previous paragraph talks about beautiful promises. And when I was done doing my fifth step, I felt exhausted. I felt relieved that I had done it and that I didn't die, which, you know, everything in my life, you know, I'm going to die from this, right? I didn't die. And I felt relieved that my sponsor was still talking to me because I was sure that I was the worst person on earth because I'm selfish and self-centered. I also remember that, no, the clouds did not part and the angels did not sing, which I don't know, when I read the fifth step promises, that's what I thought was going to happen. Right then and there, that is not what happened right then and there for me. I will say the promises came true for me. That's another paragraph we talked about yesterday. But here I am bringing it in. And instead, I was directed to, hey, just sit down. Don't do anything else. Put your phone on silent and just spend this time with God, thanking God that, okay, I didn't die by doing my fourth of this step, that I'm going to keep going, and please show me if there's anything that I want in any of these steps. Do I really think I'm powerless? Do I know that today? Is my life unmanageable? Reviewing it, you know, all of them, each of the steps, including step four, knowing that, okay, all right, I did it. It's thorough. We're building this on a solid foundation. God and I are building this together. God's doing all the heavy lifting, let's be honest. But I'm showing up and doing my work, and these promises will come true for me. Even if I didn't feel anything after doing my fifth step, these promises are still coming true for me. I just have to keep doing my part. And thank you. With that, I will pass.
Perfect timing, Chanel T. from Washington State. Up next is Ann B., followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Ann. Tell us where you're calling from, too.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. And I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 20 years. And when I first did my first step, my fifth step, I looked at this section of the big book, and it talked about how you were supposed to feel afterwards, and I didn't feel that way. And even though my sponsor told me I had done a beautiful fifth step, and it was perfect, and she was really happy with it, I knew something was wrong. I didn't feel that sense of relief. I knew I must have missed something, and I did have to do it again. I did have to do two more fourth steps before I got the sense of relief that I was supposed to get. Even though my sponsor told me I was great, I wasn't. And the second fourth step that I did had to do with lies I was telling myself based on unreasonable expectations I had of myself, based on my parents and the way they raised me, and, you know, having come from a family where people won Nobel Prizes on both sides of my family, and I had never had any kind of achievement like that, and I expected myself to be a little robot, wantless and needless, and made all these great achievements without ever having any weakness myself. And there were a bunch of, and you know, I expected never to be tired, never to be grouchy, nobody to ever get mad at me. I mean, there were a bunch of unreasonable expectations I had of myself that were making me miserable. And the second thing I had to do was I had to rewrite my resentments of my ex. I only had one line for him in my original resentments. I had to write 93 resentments, 15 pages, 8-point type, single-spaced of Lori C's spreadsheet format, of 93 resentments of my ex and my ex's therapist. And that helped. And then I had to do a whole bunch of meditation and prayer before I really forgave him. And really saw my part in what went wrong in our marriage. And it really took me, you know, because I did my first fourth step about 6 months into program, the second one maybe about 2 years, the third one in maybe about 3 years into program. It really took 3 years for me to get it, to really see what the problem was. What was wrong with what was my stinking thinking that was making me resentful and fearful and was leading me to self-medicate. And some of those same issues with unreasonable expectations of self continue to raise their ugly head every single day. But at least I'm aware of them. And so I have to keep inventorying them, and I'll finish up. And I have to keep telling people about it and trying to work on fixing it and getting help from God. So I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Anne B. from New York. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Veronica B. Joan Marie, tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, Mo. Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater by the power and grace of God. What stood out was that we shall walk a free person at once, and that we thank God from the bottom of our hearts that we know Him better. And if I didn't know God better, I would never be able to do what's happening now in my life. I'm going to go back to the ABCs. I'm kind of skipping around. That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, our foodism, but God could and would if He were sought. And if I cry, it's okay. I lost my youngest son on January 22nd of this year to cancer. And when I tell you that God is walking me through this, it's so true. And all the prayers and thoughts, I couldn't even listen to the meeting for a couple days or share. But today, you know, his funeral was yesterday, all the beautiful pictures of him. He was so handsome, and he loved life so much. And his partner was there all along, and we're in contact. So with that, I'm going to pass and say thank you, God.
Oh, thank you, Joan Marie, and our hearts and prayers are with you.
Thank
you. Difficult time. Before I take Veronica B., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 75, the third paragraph down. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet. Through one paragraph ending with, have we tried to make mortar out of sand? And after Veronica, I will take another list of names. Good morning, Veronica.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I am Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And so the instructions here is, this is after doing my fifth step. This is after writing my inventory of ways that I was selfish, putting down on paper all my resentments, and basically, like, how my thinking is. And reading it to my sponsor, it gives me a way to really dig deep down inside through self-examination to see what triggers me. Like, why do I have these resentments? It's all about, like, my thinking pattern. I get to know myself better by doing this inventory. And, you know, when it refers to, you know, knowing God better, that I'm an addict, so I don't want to really see the truth about me. I would rather blame everybody else for everything. But this process of the inventory, I get to examine myself, my thinking patterns, my resentments, and I get to find out more about me. And in knowing myself better, I get to know God better, because I feel closer to God when I know myself better and when I'm in acceptance of myself, and that I'm a compulsive eater, and that the more I get to know myself, I cannot stress this enough, the more honest I could be, because this is an honest program, so the more honest I could be about myself and my thinking and what brings me resentment, the closer I feel to God, because then I can take all that shame away and guilt of why I am the way I am, and know that I'm not a bad person, I'm just a sick person trying to get well. And this returning at home, you know, I get to get quiet for an hour. We try to do it for an hour. But, you know, my sponsor just said, just, you know, if you can't sit for an hour, just go for a walk. You know, and just really review and make sure I didn't leave anything out, that I'm just being honest. It's helping me to learn how to be honest, because my whole life I lied. I didn't mean to lie. I just lied. And so, it's through the inventory process and telling another human being, you know, the truth about me. It does bring me closer to God. I feel closer to God by doing this work. And as long as I'm being honest, God is entering my heart. But I have to continue to be honest and continue the self-examination process, continue the inventory so that I can see what's blocking me from God. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please let others share today. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Charlene G.
Charlene.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P. Who else? Page 75, the third paragraph down. Okay. Hearing none others, we'll go with Charlene G. and Robin P., and maybe you'll be motivated to press star one the next round. Good morning, Charlene. Tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Charlene G. from Utah, recovering compulsive overeater. One of the phrases in the big book that has been ringing in my ears a lot lately is more will be revealed. And this paragraph just reminds me all about that theme of revelation. And as an addict, I've heard it already shared. Yes, I'm in the practice right now learning how to be still and to sit quiet. And so there's a training right there in this first hour after doing my fourth. But I love the concept of receiving personal revelation. It's such a beautiful promise that more will be revealed. And I can receive more light, more knowledge, and it accumulates. And I'm getting insights, and those are becoming more recognizable. They are growing. The thoughts are coming in this recovering state. The noise that prevented me from hearing God has been getting quieter, and it kind of tries to creep up, but God speaks my language. He knows how to communicate with me, and I'm learning how to communicate with him. It's a beautiful relationship. This is growing. this paragraph is talking about progress, spiritual progress, and that's what this whole book is trying to help me understand, is I'm becoming. And I love that visual, walking through the arch as a free woman with God. He prepares me for this new way. This whole step five has been preparing me for a new way of living, of which includes having this constant contact with God. I yearn for that more than the food now. That's such a blessing and a miracle. I'm his daughter. He loves me, and he wants to be my guide, and I'm allowing him to do so. And so welcome to the newcomers. This program is the only solution for me. 12 Steps of OA, grateful for the founders, grateful for this miracle in 2025 that we have this, that we've been brought to this solution, and I pray that more will get to come to. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Charlene G. from Utah. And let me remind everybody where we're at before I take Robin, because I'm going to take another lineup of names after Robin. Is we're on page 75, the third paragraph. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet. And it ends with, have we tried to make mortar without sand? So now I will take Robin P., and after Robin, I'll get another lineup of names. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovery compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And just so grateful for all of you and the steps and God. And, when I did my first fifth step, my sponsor, I shared this once before, but she was pregnant and she fell asleep. And I thought, oh my gosh, I thought this was such intense stuff because I grew up in so much child abuse. And, trauma, and I was like, maybe it's not as important, but it was still such a blessing. And every time I've done a fifth step with someone, and every time I've listened to fifth step, it's such a healing of, it literally feels like manure is coming off my heart, and the sunlight of the spirit gets to shine through. Every time I feel like more layers come off, and I do this practice of sitting quietly. That's not my strong suit. I'm really an extrovert. And so, but I just got to practice and I did the best I could. And I did review what I had done and the first five steps. And I was so grateful to do that. Every time I actually done that, and I really asked my sponsees to do that when they're going to this, I think it's really important to have that self-reflection and learn how to get quiet with God and go in. So I'm just so grateful. And every step is such a healing bit of grace and mercy along the way. And then once I do that, I get to live in 10, 11, and 12, which is literally a miracle for me on a daily basis. It's literally the mood changer I was looking for in the food without the consequences. I get to have a positive mood change when I meditate. And, when I do a step 10, I just get so much relief. And listening to someone else's step 10 is such a huge blessing. So these steps go on. And the whole thing, it's just literally feels like it's heaven sent. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of you. God bless everybody. It was a really abstinent, blessed day, and I pass. And thanks again, Mo. Sending you a big hug.
Oh, thank you. Robin P. from Costa Rica. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to share on this paragraph today, please give me your name.
Oh, Alexis from New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, I got Barbara E. and Alexis.
Sherry M.
Sharon, was that a Sharon M?
It's Sherry M.
Very, very garbly.
Yes, I will fix it.
Okay. I thought that was Sharon or Sherry. Anyone else in this lineup? I have Barbara E., Alexis F., and I think it was Sherry or Sharon. We'll see who it is when we get there. Anyone else? Or we'll go with this lineup.
Elizabeth A.
Okay, I got you. Elizabeth A. Okay. Okay, I'll go with these four. Barbara E., Alexis F., Sharon, I think it's a Sharon, and Elizabeth A. Okay, everyone mute except Barbara E. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, and thank you for your service and blessings to all my OA family. This is Barbara E., a compulsive volume overeater and a retired higher power. There's a saying that doesn't come from any, can't be attributed to any one person. It says, beatings will continue till morale improves. Well, of course, I think about ships and Captain Queeg and all of things like that. But for me, eating will continue till morale improves. Because when I was overeating, I was miserable. I was dishonest. I was harsh. I was withdrawn. So I had to find a different way. And when I came to OA, I found something miraculous, at least for me. The first stage I had to overcome, of course, was getting sobriety, becoming abstinent. I was pink cloud we all know about, and the pink sunglasses. This was going to be wonderful. I finally found the secret. And then the next stage of my illness or my disease was euphoria. I feel great. I can do this. Oh, this is absolutely fantastic. And then the next stage was excitement. Well, there's a secret I'm not going to tell my sponsor. And I was really harsh to my husband. And I don't think I need to do a 10th step. The excitement, getting away with it. And then the fourth stage was confusion. What was I thinking? I was bewildered. Here I am regaining the weight I took so much effort to take off. And I worked so hard. I found in the next stage, I was in a stupor, a food stupor, and a coma. And the final stage would have to be death by knife, fork, and spoon. So I had no choice to go back and think about my day and sit quietly with my unknown source of wisdom to help me to find a clean heart and help me to renew my spirit. And help me to accept with gratitude the people and the choice I have in life. Because there is a choice. The choices are I can do the program or I can just give in and say this is frigging too hard. Well, you know which choice I had to take. I had to work the steps. I had to use all the tools in the tool chest. I had to cherish my time with my family, remembering nothing lasts forever. And it is in a, oh, thank you. Okay. Have a beautiful day. I look forward to the rest of your shares.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Up next is Alexis F., followed by, I'm not sure, Sharon, Sherry. You'll have to help me. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm a compulsive overeater and multi-addicted. After putting down all my addictions, struggling a little bit with one of them, which is my love addiction, the character defects are glaring. They just seem to pop out and surprise me every once in a while. I'm praying about it. I'm meditating about it. I'm having less of them. So I must say that, you know, it's getting better. There's progress. self-knowledge has its place. Why do we go to therapists? Why do we go to psychiatrists? Why do we come to this program? Isn't the fourth step self-knowledge? Self-knowledge. I've been seeking. I'm a seeker. And I've been seeking God for 50 years now, since I first came into this program. A couple of months ago, I got really abstinent, weighing and measuring my food, going to a nutritionist for a meal plan, only eating three meals a day with an occasional snack of fruit. I'm seeking the big book, Emotional and Spiritual Growth Through the Literature, that I'm reading. I really have the life of Riley. My daughter lives with me, and she does all the cooking, all the cleaning. I'm in a wheelchair. And for the present time, I'm working on walking, and I'm hoping to be walking with a walker. You know, I'm making a lot of progress with that, and I exercise every day on my bike and doing calisthenics, and I do my disciplines every day, and I'm very, very fortunate to be able to do it, the tools. Every day. I'm very, very fortunate to be able to do it. And I've known many hospitalizations, and my sponsor said to take it up with my therapist about some of the heavier things. You know, I don't want to lay them on her. And I do. I take them up with my therapist, and, you know, it's revealing yourself and your personality is very difficult. Revealing that is the way God made us. Revealing that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alexis. Up next is Karen, Sherry. Is it Sherry?
Sherry.
Okay, Sherry.
Yes.
There were so many people coming in there. All right, thank you.
No problem. I was putting my name in on the car speaker. So my name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered in beautiful Jacksonville, Wyoming. And I love this paragraph, and I was just thinking how many fifth steps I've personally done and heard. You know, it's really important to tell a protege, hey, you might want to, you know, leave that extra hour once we're done. So make sure you have enough time. It's super important. I have spent the whole hour in contemplation and praising my higher power and thanking my higher power for the courage that my higher power gave me to share everything. And then I've asked my higher power, who I choose to call God today, God, did I leave anything out? Am I holding any secrets right now? Is there anything that needs to be shared? And I let God give me the response. And then I have to go through, on, I go to page 59, like it suggests, and I sit and I look at the first five steps, which are the proposals. And I ask, have I really admitted and conceded to my innermost self that I am a real compulsive overeater and that I am a compulsive overeater and there's nothing I can do to stop it? Great. Have I seen that I get in the way of my own life in step three and that by me running the show, it's a complete freaking, you know what, kind of a show? You know, it's a disaster. Have I admitted that? Do I see that? Do I see my selfishness? Have I looked in step four and can I see the truth of who I am and what I have become and how I operate in the world? And it really doesn't matter why I operate the way I do, but do I see that that's my truth? You know, this is like the truth step. I have to say I have been dishonest in the past with different sponsors when they said, hey, have you done the whole hour? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, I was like cleaning during that hour or, you know, being on Facebook or who knows what. I haven't done the full hour every single time, and I have been dishonest. I feel like that's the one area in the whole entire steps where I haven't necessarily been, you know, setting the alarm for a whole hour each and every time. But I like what has been said before. Most of the time I have, and I do the best that I can. And the most important thing is
what's on my heart and what needs to be shared, and then I can move on. Because if this is not solid, that's fine. I don't know if anyone else has had this experience, but I've moved on with the mortar being my quicksand, and I haven't gotten very far, and it wasn't cemented in place, and I started walking in it, and then I slipped right back into the eating because I was doing it my way, and my way doesn't work, but God's way does. So I think it's important that I, Sherry, follow the precise instructions written in this book, because that's how the first 100 got recovered, and that's how I'm going to get recovered and stay recovered, and that's how I've gotten recovered, past tense. But it is a daily reprieve, and I have to have faith working through me 24 hours a day, or I will die. So thank you so much. I pass, and go Team Thursday for the month of January.
Oh, thank you very much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Elizabeth A., I'll give you 2 minutes, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. I'm hoping you can hear me. I'm currently on the road to Atlanta, Georgia.
I can.
Oh, there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So much is coming to me. I've shared. I came into program 1986. My first fifth step was brutal. And things got worse. My food, my bulimia, the eating disorder got worse before it got better. I was filled with absolute self-loathing and self-abuse. And the mortar and the sand for me is God, to walk with my higher power to an acceptance and loving relationship. What just keeps coming to my head is two things, and I'll make it quick. Denial. Don't even know I am lying. And the other one is a movie, Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where Eustace is peeled layer by layer as a dragon from his selfishness. And that's what God and this program and my beautiful fellow travelers do. They help me to be free of the bondage of self. And it's a slow process. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Elizabeth A. Perfect. And thank you, everyone, for your shares this morning and for being on the meeting. And I will now, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask, what do I have for Sherry M.? Thank you, to read
okay.
A Vision for You.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great test. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and it just went away, and you will surely, I think, meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny, and may God bless you and keep you until then.